Chapter 23, Bradycardia. Bradycardia is a medical term to describe a slow-beating heart. Care must be taken here. Not everyone with a slow-beating heart has bradycardia. There are some people who have a slow heart naturally. Very often athletes come into this category. In such a case, the heart beats slowly, but strongly and in rhythm, and therefore efficiently. Bradycardia is where the slowness is due to some malfunction of the beat system. Usually this is a sluggishness in the electrical impulses which drive and control the heartbeat. There are people with the opposite problem, where the electrical impulses are too lively and they suffer from a rapid heartbeat. This condition is called tachycardia. It does show how important it is that the conducting mechanism of the heart is right so that it works properly and efficiently. When the heartbeat is slow, it results in a feeling of lassitude and weakness and may bring on fainting and blackouts. There is nearly always an attitude of lethargy due to the poor circulation of blood to the organs of the body. The patient feels he has no strength and therefore makes no effort because to do so is a real struggle. He feels weighed down and constricted through lack of strength. Because the heart is slow, the inclination is slow. It is all part of bradycardia. The treatment is to prescribe drugs which have the effect of increasing the heartbeat, which consequently improve the circulation and therefore make the system more efficient. The other treatment is to fit a pacemaker, which is designed, as its name suggests, to regulate the pace of the heartbeat, and in the case of bradycardia, to increase it to a sound and efficient pumping action. There are many people today who have pacemakers fitted, and they lead active and busy lives, satisfying and enjoyable. Bradycardia of the soul. This condition could be described as spiritual slowness of heart. The symptoms are loss of passion, a feeling of spiritual lassitude, and even fainting. In the face of the need for faithful service, there is lethargy and lack of interest. What at one time was inspiring and well worthwhile is now seen as hardly worth bothering with. What it used to excite now seems dull and sometimes boring. The old things, heard so often, make no appeal. Sometimes the feeling is focused in a complaint that the meetings provide nothing to help, either too dull or too lively, sometimes too long or too short, too involved or too simple. When friends show interest in the truth, it is not encouraged, but passed on to others to follow up and develop. It is a strange thing, this bradycardia. It is not loss of belief. Those who suffer from it have not come to the conclusion that the Bible is wrong, or that their understanding of it is misguided and faulty. It is that now they have no enthusiasm for it. They are listless and without spiritual energy. If they speak of the truth, it is always about what it used to be like. They remember the days in the past when they were active and keen. They tell how once they worked in the Sunday school or in the pastoral care of the ecclesia. They had a Bible study group in the home and it worked well. Sighing, they tell what it used to be like in their early days. Provoked, they might even tell how they used to be excited at meetings when the truth was preached. They loved to hear about the signs that the Lord's coming was near. But now the excitement has gone. There is no passion. The meetings are neglected. They come, but occasionally, and then are reluctant to stay and talk. Fellowship is not in favor. Detachment is a defense. Once they hurried in the cause of Christ, drawn onward by the noble prospect. Now the feet are shackled by lack of vision and loss of fervor. Pessimism, where there used to be promise and possibility. The spirit is never amazed. The soul is never aflame. The heart never throbs. A real case. In the New Testament, there is a real-life case of spiritual bradycardia. It is in Luke chapter 24. True, it is temporary, but it is real enough. Two disciples are going home in the evening. They are walking out of Jerusalem to Emmaus, where they live. They are not hurrying. Indeed, they are sauntering. Well, there is nothing to hurry about. They are disappointed. The one they had hoped would redeem and reign over Israel had been executed. Their confidence was gone. Their passion had dried up. He had not been equal to the forces which were against him. As they walk, they talk about what it had been like before. Remember, he was a great prophet. His words and his deeds were mighty. They remember how fervent and excited they used to be. The fire that used to blaze is now a few embers just glowing. That is why they are sauntering. There is nothing to do now. It started so well. Now it is ending so sadly. The diagnosis of their trouble is not left to our speculation. The supreme physician joined them on the Emmaus road. They did not recognize him because their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He asked them why they are walking and talking so sadly and so hopelessly. So they tell him of their dashed hopes, their lost expectations, their agonized disappointment. Let us mark their actual words carefully, because it reveals that their lives were in the past tense. They say about Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and the people. Again they say, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Let us not mistake it. They are not saying he was a fraud. They are not charging him with deception. They are not saying anything bad about him. They believe he was the best man they had ever known. What he tried for was something that filled their hearts with a new hope. At one time they were bubbling over with it. They loved and longed for it. Yes, he was a prophet, and we had hoped. Oh yes, they loved his memory. How good it once had been. The geographical position is like a parable. They are leaving Jerusalem, the city of the great king, to return to things as they used to be, to Emmaus, where life is ordinary and commonplace, and as it was before. A return to the status quo, before the vision came. In reply to their confession of disappointment, the physician diagnoses the trouble. O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That was the trouble then, heart slowness. If the spiritual pulse rate had been right, they would have understood and would not have lost hope, but instead would have been invigorated by the very things which had disappointed them. They would have received with joy the testimony of the women that the tomb was empty and the angels had proclaimed he was alive. Heart slowness had impeded their faith. Oh, let us not criticize them for this. How do we know if we would have been any more perceptive? The record tells what happened. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. Jerusalem to Emmaus is not a long journey, about 7 miles. So, even sauntering, it was not a long walk. Jesus joined them at some time along the route, and in that short time revealed to them in the first 5 books of the Bible, and then in all the prophets, the things which showed what the Messiah was to be like and what he was to do. What he said was not extra-biblical. He did not add to what was written, but he took what was written and made it live. He gave them a new understanding of things which they had heard before many times and which had been part of their Hebrew education. Old things made new. The same things old and new. What a wonderful exposition it must have been. The Son of God opening the scriptures to 2 astounded disciples on the road home and as the sun was westering. That was the treatment designed and applied by the man who bore our sicknesses. The effect is told by the disciples after the stranger has been identified in breaking bread and has disappeared. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Hearts that burn tend to beat faster. The new pulse rate resulted in action in the same hour. No waiting to straighten things out, no delay to talk it over, no holding back until the morning. In the same hour, they were on the way to Jerusalem at the double. They sauntered outwards, but went back hurrying. In this case, the slow heart was a temporary condition, soon cured because the remedy was wonderfully at hand. The fire was low, but it has been written of the Messiah that he will not quench the smoking flax. That means not only will he not quench it, he will fan it into flame. Remember one thing for certain. The cure was made sure when they were listening to him. It was not when they were talking to themselves, not when they were telling of their own sadness and of their disappointment. The record goes out of its way to tell us when the cure took effect. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? The condition of spiritual bradycardia is put right by the impact of the Word of God. It might be some startling insight into its meaning, hitherto never seen. It might be some remarkable fulfillment of its promise, or its prediction suddenly realized. On the other hand, it is sometimes achieved by a patient urging of another soul towards the slow-hearted one, urging a return to the words of the love-impulsed Savior. Urge the patient to listen for the imperial voice that is able to make slow hearts throb with new hope. After all is said and done, the slow heart condition is a miserable and forlorn one. No real hope, no inspiration, no passion. Spiritually, it is dull and dismal and blighted. Let the bringer of help emphasize that the doubt-mastered life is wasted. Getting rid of it will be like a release from bondage, a healing of wounds, a flinging back of the shutters into an old vision made new and exciting. It is not just a matter of reading and marking and analyzing. It is the impact of the person of the Emmaus Christ upon the listless soul. Let not the remedy turn into a vague generalization. It must be personal, realistic, incisive. The shame of past failure ended, the exaltation of a new endeavor, faith-inspired, making the heart strong and steady. So, on a strictly practical level, never be willing to accept spiritual heart slowness as something which just has to be endured and cannot be cured. There are people who once were in this condition, who now have burning hearts and shining faces in the service of the Redeemer. Since part of the effect of the condition is a feeling of fainting, one word of the Redeemer is paramount. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Try to pray with the one who needs help, however reluctant they may be at first. Keep trying. Use every means possible to bring them closer to the word of life. Talk to them about the need of others, to prove they are not uniquely exceptional. Show how it is possible to have a full-blooded, robust, and exciting life of discipleship. If they are afraid because of their weakness, admit that a recognition of weakness is wholesome, but it is out of the very condition of weakness that Christ can restore and make strong. After all, he did say, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Luke 24 is telling us that Christ Jesus is very close to the weak and the disappointed. He is able to take the little that remains and make it throb with new hope and expectation. God has a pacemaker for the slow-hearted, if they will receive it.